let me introduce you here so everyone knows who you are. I think most people do, but Dr. Stephen M. Ulish is a special guest to Drywind.net, a friend of Drywind.net, and he's the author of many books, including The Great Harpazo Deception, Invasion Israel, and many others. He was a member of the research group NICAP back in the 1960s. After reviewing Project Blue Book, he's studied astronomy and exobiology at Case Western Reserve University and graduated in 1969. He eventually became a history professor at the University of Arizona for several years, where he visited Alan Hynek's Tucson group. He became interested in Bible prophecy after he had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ in 1988. And Stephen, it is a great pleasure to have you here, and I've really been enjoying your articles on UFO Digest.
Great.
Is that
you.
Pretty much your current projects right now?
Right. I've been doing that for the last 2 years, and it's just, I keep waiting for them to stop me, but they don't, so I keep on going.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me that there are some people in the New Age movement, and I, you know, respect that, and I think there's some people listening to this that would fall into the category that are open-minded enough to listen to our viewpoint, and I appreciate that. Have you noticed a change in that movement? Since you're really tied very heavily, and I think you have more contact with folks in the general ufology field, have you noticed a change recently in how they approach you?
Well, no, it's maintained itself. It's been pretty consistent over the years. You know, there's really two schools. There's the publisher, you know, Dirk of UFO Digest, and even though he doesn't agree with me at all, he says, but he calls himself a Gnostic. He believes God's in everything. But he gives me the opportunity. He believes in letting me express my viewpoint. There are the readers, and I've attacked them. The interesting thing is, not only do I write, and you know, I write about Jesus, I don't shy away from what I stand for, but yet there's people that I've attacked several articles that are written for UFO Digest, and they publish those as well, which is amazing to me. You know, I always think they're not going to do it, but Dirk keeps publishing them, and if somebody writes an article, and they're so easy, unfortunately, to attack in some cases, but they're very naive or very, you know, sort of like our presidential election. But anyway, you know, people are just fawn over these UFO people as their messiah. They're going to come here and solve global warming, and they're going to solve war and all the problems that we have, poverty or whatever. And they look to the skies for their messiah. And I thought we already have a messiah. And, of course, as I said, I talk about Jesus. And that's, you know, but I guess my background, as you said, God's really prepared me for this. Sometimes I've wondered, I've taken a very strange route, but God had it all planned out from the beginning, you know, so I can, these people, they can call me a lot of things, but they can't call me uneducated or stupid, I don't think. They try sometimes. But I mean, you know, just like people at the local university here in town where my wife works, they don't always agree with me, and most of the time they don't agree with me, but they can't call me stupid. And they can't say, well, I've got a PhD. Well, I have one, too. So they can't use that argument. So God has prepared me, I think, and it confuses people. These New Age people or the educated people, sometimes they fall into the same boat. But I don't know. They're all talking about disclosure movement. That movement, that's a big thing now in the UFO community. I guess they want the government to disclose the existence of UFOs.
Well, clearly we see things happening in the news that, you know, are really pretty amazing to me. Each year I never think it's going to get any more intense, but it does. Obviously in the United Kingdom, it's been just one flap after another, and it's now totally mainstreamed over there in the news.
I know.
You know, and the BBC is beginning to report it. You know, it's fairly mainstreamed.
And didn't they release recently, the British released all their UFO files, they put them online?
Absolutely, yeah. So what they've been doing is these files have been around for a while, and Nick Pope, who actually I really respect a lot, has you know, used to work for the Ministry of Defense, and since they have an active UFO investigation program, they didn't shut theirs down like we did with Blue Book and the Condon Report. They continued it, and now they're releasing these over a period of time on the internet rather than you having to approach them one by one and requesting them. So these are actually, none of these are older cases, but what's more interesting than the cases themselves are the reaction of the world press over these. So you'll have a case that's a very interesting, compelling world case that maybe was from 1957. And that'll become headline news, particularly in Europe, when they find a case that they want to put out there. So it's almost, to me, almost like the news media is as interesting as the phenomena itself on how it's becoming more and more open in reporting this.
I wonder if that's because the European community is so secular, it moves so far away from religion, you know, and maybe that's become their religion, you know, in a sense that's, if they're looking for answers and they reject the Bible, you know, the European community has become so secular, as I said, and I wonder if that's why there's more of an interest, see what I'm saying? Because
absolutely.
That's become their, as I said, their Messiah. They're looking for these heavenly messengers to come and solve all our problems, and especially with 2012 coming up, and the many people think that's the end of the civilization.
Well, interestingly, listen to this. This is from the UK's Daily Mail. I actually have this linked on my site. I have an automatic system that goes out and searches Google and then brings me back stories. And the Mail Online says, here's the headline, "Believe in God? Oh, no. But I swear by little green men, ghosts, and mediums." And here's the tagline, "Believing in ghosts and mediums and little green men from outer space appears a touch easier than having a faith in God, according to a survey. Researchers found that while 54% of us are convinced the Almighty exists, 58% believe in the supernatural." So you're right. And as times grow more treacherous, it seems like this is going to become more and more of a belief that people would glom onto. And I think it's no accident
right.
that these entities are manifesting.
Right. And it seems to me, and I've written about this, it takes, in my mind, it takes more faith to believe in that than to believe in the Bible. But people, they talk about us having blind faith, but to believe that some extraterrestrial cosmic savior is out there, which came from God knows where, you know, to me takes more blind faith, but they do. As you said, they and I saw that on your site also, that they would rather believe in little green men. But I think that's a sign of the times, Daryl, as we're saying. We're seeing all this going on, all of it fits together. That the sign of the times, what's going on in the world situation, or the American situation for that matter. We're seeing people more and more are going to be turning and looking for answers. And unfortunately, they're going to be looking in the wrong places, many of them. And
absolutely.
They're going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived, and but that's what we're happening. That's what's happening. And I, my wife and I were talking about this last night. We both of us have which many Christians have, I think, a real heaviness ever since the presidential election. I do. I don't know if we're going to go into that, but I've had this heaviness ever since the last few weeks. And,
well, I think the heaviness we feel is not maybe only due to the outcome of the election, although, you know, my view, I'm not going to put my faith in any man,
right.
regardless of the party, because it is the Lord who really sustains our nation. But I think, you know, it is difficult to watch a nation slip away such as ours so quickly. And, you know, I don't want to write the United States off permanently. I'm not a pessimist, but you have to say now that as a world power, you know, our situation is definitely in question, because leveraging our economy are these
right.
other larger and now larger forces, and ultimately I think there's a force above these international nations like China and the EU that are leveraging our economy. As we know, there's a prince of the power of the air that the Lord has allowed temporarily to roam this earth, and I think that we're seeing a hand allowing these situations to occur. And my concern is with the church. The church is going to be, meaning
yeah.
the invisible church, not necessarily a denomination, or you know, but the people that exist that believe in Jesus, seeing these things happen that have never in their life could imagine that, you know, a craft could manifest above their city, you know, and I was reading the on the Sacramento paper, some of the people that had responded to the sighting and say, "Yo, you know, yeah, I saw it, you know, and boy, this really questions my belief, you know. I mean, it's really blowing their worldview away, and I think that's very telling, as their worldview is eroded because of the economy, and then they see something in the sky and they go, well, you know, maybe God isn't true, and unfortunately, I feel like that's going to occur. Well, I think that there's things coming on this earth that are going to be so incredibly radical. For example, as we get into genetic engineering, and that's people I don't think have any idea how far along.
Yeah, Tom Horn does a lot of that stuff. He does a lot of good stuff on that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, he does. And Tom Horn has described it very well. I think that how far along the scientific community, not necessarily just in this country, but also in countries where there is very little control over the use of this technology, and the hybridization of man himself, so as we get creatures, essentially, that are part human, part animal, chimera, you know, and they're going to be demanding rights. I think that we're on the cusp of the next, you know, 10 years. It's, you know, if we're still here, you're going to see incredible radicalization of culture via scientific methods. So that's kind of interesting.
All kinds of things like that. And they talk about the Nephilim and all people looking for old Nephilim DNA that they can clone. It's amazing. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff, like you said, that we have no idea. One of my wife's, she's in the art department at the university. She's an administrator. And one of the professors who saw UFOs, supposedly, she said many years ago, and I've sent her some of my articles just because in the UFO Digest, and she looked at me and she said, "Steve, you're a strange man." You know, not strange because of UFOs, but strange because of Jesus. It's amazing. They think, "What? You really believe that stuff? You're going to be open."
That's another thing, is the marginalization of Christianity. Look, I don't want any group, you know, discriminated against, but
correct.
If you look at the way the culture, and I mean the Western culture in particular, looks at people who believe in the literal Bible and believe in Jesus, you know, we're viewed as archaic. And, you know,
absolutely.
When these things begin to appear in the sky, then there's going to be a potentially, I think, a hatred, you know, that I think that there's almost an irrational spiritual hatred that exists. You know, you're going to be, and I'm going to be, and others are going to, that have this view, are going to be, well, you know, why are you thinking those things? And moreover, we think that you're a problem and need to be eliminated.
Yeah,
so I think that
persecution's going to come on the church. I believe that. You're right.
Yeah, in some way, you know, one way or another, and I do think that it very well could be this UFO thing has something to do with it, as it changes and radically warps people's view away from traditional beliefs. You know, the ironic thing, though, is the Bible explains all of this manifestation so clearly to me. I did an article on the locality of this type of phenomena, and I brought up Daniel chapter 10 and how Daniel was approached by an angel, an angelic being from God, who had to fight a being from the prince of Persia. And this being was a, you know, essentially a super angel. And this angel had to enlist the help of Michael, an archangel, to fight this being who is associated with a particular geographic region. And so people wonder, well, why does this phenomena happen more in the UK? And it seems like there's certain areas where these beings are focused. And I don't mean to say they couldn't appear anywhere, but they tend to appear in kind of a regional. It's almost like an authority. You know, Paul speaks of spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities and authorities. And I think that there's some kind of literal zone that they're allowed to operate in. And I have a feeling that this zone is expanding as a nation moves away from God and moves more into pagan beliefs. Yeah, because obviously the UK is totally bought over into that.
And the restrainer, he said it won't be till the restrainer is taken away, and that's when the tribulation. I think there was a restrainer, but I think as much as we lament the decline of the church in America, it's still probably stronger than it is in Europe, as I said, in England and other countries in Europe, and there's no restraint at all, and these demonic forces have free reign, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in other countries, Brazil has been a hotbed for that activity for years and years.
I get that. What's his name? I always hear from...
I just got his email, and now I can't think of his name.
I know, the Brazilian UFO guy. Yeah. I always... Grevard, if you're pronouncing that right.
He noted some increase in crop circles, and they did some
analysis. Yeah, I just got that email, too. And, you know, and I've been sending him my articles, and he sees my stuff in UFO Digest. And he keeps me on his mailing list, as I said. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't know where he's coming from spiritually or, you know, in terms of his relationship with God. But I send these people, and I send my stuff out. There are several websites in the UK. People have me, but, you know, so I'm just hoping, like you said. I mean, you know, I'm up to God's there for all of them. I always say that in all my articles. I said, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you know, so. I mean, if you could save me, you could save anybody.
I think one of the problems that people have is when you say it's a spiritual phenomena, they think, well, you're saying that they're not real and they don't,
right?
They're not physical. Well, I say, no, that's not the case. Read the Bible. When a spiritual being manifests in the Bible, angels in particular, they're a literal physical being. They manifest and they can do things. They can be, you know, they can manipulate the physical surroundings. And
right.
So I think we have this kind of a Gnostic idea of the way the spiritual world works in this culture, where we think this is spiritual, ephemeral, ghostly existence, and then there's reality. Well, we're only seeing a very small part of the reality that the Lord has created, and these beings can operate in a greater range of that reality. And they can move in and out of the reality. And when I see these craft, consistently they're morphing. They're changing appearance quickly. Now, the question I have for these people, if the craft can do that, the beings that appear to you, wouldn't they have the same capability of morphing their appearance? And one of the things I found is they tend to morph their appearance based on what people expect them to look like.
Right.
So I've been tying in a lot with science fiction. You know, I love science fiction. I wrote it for many years, but I think it's also a vehicle for these manifestations, and how people can perfectly accept the fact that there's a spacecraft, but they have a hard time seeing that this thing is multidimensional. That just blows me away. But fortunately, as you suggest, I think there are people who keep you on their newsletter, who are interested in your writings, that can see that there is a spiritual connection with this phenomena.
I hope so. You know, that because, you know, as I said, there was an article of Jim Cunningham on Strong Delusion, and on his website, Dr. Barry Downing had an update from his book he wrote 40 years ago about UFOs and angels. I mean, I was reading that article again this afternoon, and it just blows me away that he could believe that. But he's, I guess, a very liberal theologian, I guess, best way to say it. But to say that UFOs might be good angels, I you know.
Yeah, I don't. That's where I part. Well, for sure, I definitely part with him there. I mean, there's no, you know, the thing is if you see the way the good angels manifest in the Bible, there's no point where they're described, you know, as terms of UFOs. And moreover, and I've always said this to people, look at the abduction phenomena. Look at the way these things appear. They're deceptive. They lie. They have the people that the Pleiadians say one moment they're from Venus, and then the next decade they're from the Pleiades, you know,
right.
And then they say something else to someone else. And, you know, it's continual kind of lies, and that's just not a mark of what God would do.
I said they're experimenting on humans or cattle mutilation, whatever you want to say, or abductions. I don't see those as representative, like you said, of good. It seems evil and deception at the least. Anyways, and then he said the Bible's not literally true in every point, so I knew right away. But anyways, it was just, and he mentioned me by name. I didn't think he even knew who I was, but I guess he does. It's just amazing. Our Paul's experience was by a UFO, the Apostle Paul that saw the blinding light. You know, that's a UFO. And again, all that kind of stuff I can speak, Darrell, from personal experience. I know the revelation of Jesus that I had and the visions that I had. that opened my eyes, sort of like Paul in a sense. And that wasn't a UFO, that wasn't a demon, and that was real. As you said, that wasn't just a spiritual, ephemeral thing. It was a totally real thing, you know, and it just really knocked me for a loop, just like it did Paul, I guess. And
yeah, I think it's just simply a misunderstanding of what the spiritual world is, and you have to rely on technology. What's technology? Technology,
yeah.
God created it. He can do whatever he wants to. And furthermore, I think that compared to angels, God is so incredibly far above that. And Jesus
right.
is far above. I think people in their mind think, well, there's the God side and then there's the evil side. And they're kind of co-equal. But that's not at all the way it works. So
no.
These beings are somehow limited. They're obviously more powerful than we are. They wield more capability, and if you want to call it technology, you can. But compared to the maker of the universe, the one who formed this existence from the tiny infant to the greatest galactic cluster, I mean,
right.
I don't think you're going to need a huge disc floating above the Red Sea to part it, you know.
To part the, yeah, I thought that was funny.
So what do you think about these Middle Eastern events going on? I know you follow that.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing that 75% of the American Jewish population voted for Obama. I mean, which is not surprising because they're by and large liberal, by and large Democrat. But I just think they're being deceived. I just think he's going to sell them out. But
I think it's really interesting that Israel's getting to a point where they're, you know, you can see an end to our ability to protect them, an end to their reliance upon us. They're no longer going to be able to rely on the United States as this economic situation plays itself out and eventually begins affecting our foreign policy. I think, in fact, it already has. You know, you have Israel now beginning to turn to the EU. You have them now in kind of it's a meltdown. Israel just blows me away. Do you see Netanyahu getting in there? And
I just hope the thing I was going to say, you know, I met him back in 1984, I think, when I was running the Jewish community, was a community professional in Phoenix, the Jewish community, and we brought him in as a speaker to raise money for the Jewish community. Then I think he was the ambassador to the United Nations. And for Israel, and we met at a dinner, and we talked beforehand, and he was intrigued because I had been a history professor, and his father apparently is a history professor, specializing in Inquisition, Spanish Inquisition. So we talked, and we had a good time. I just had a feeling that he really loved the Jewish people. His brother, Jonathan, was the one that led the raid down in Entebbe, the rescue of the Jews down in Uganda,
mm-hmm.
and he was the only one killed. He really loved the Jewish people. He loved his country, and I was hoping, and I'm still hoping, that he'll be the prime minister. I think they're having an election in February or March or something. We'll see. You know, but I don't know if it'll make a difference because, as you said, God's in control. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but I think you're right. They're not going to have the United States to rely on, which they had for the last 60 years. As our primary source of support has been America. Blessed us because we've blessed Israel.
Right.
He says, then I'll bless you, that encourage you. So I think that covering is also going to fall off of America as we turn away from Israel for various reasons, one being economic, like you said.
Yeah, it does seem fascinating to me, too, and even people that don't necessarily subscribe to Bible prophecy when I point out the fact that look at Russia now allied with Persia. Modern-day Iran.
That's Gog and Magog. That's Ezekiel 38. Yeah.
Right, and then the term, I will put hooks in your jaws, O Gog, and bring you down from the north. Yeah, so then we have Russia now. Now the ruble's collapsed. So now their great oil wealth is in question, at least for a period. So, of course, what is the one resource that we know that Russia has besides oil wealth? It's military. And its weapons industry, and so now it's going to become even more entrenched in that region as it seeks cash via selling Iran, and not only Iran, I think we're going to see the army. Absolutely. We see it in our own hemisphere. I think we're going to see the rearming of Libya. I think some of the words that Gaddafi has that he's going to give up his, you know, his aggression. I think that's he's going to go back on that.
Yeah, right.
We see Algeria heating up, so the North African. I think Sudan, you know, it's
Somalia,
no accident
the
Somalian pirate situation has happened, and they're getting, you know, millions of bucks every time they take a ship. So that, and those are many of the nations that are mentioned in the Ezekiel 38-39.
You're right.
So it's happening.
I'm Russian. My father's a Russian immigrant. In fact, I'm just first generation. And I can remember as a young boy, one of my cousins, this is a little anecdotal story, but one of my cousins applied to work for the Atomic Energy Commission. It's probably in the late 50s or early 60s. He's about 10 years older than I am. And they did a security check on him, and they got a picture of him coming up down the steps of the Russian embassy. That was the biggest thing in my family at the time, controversy. And it turned out he was a student at NYU, and he was doing a term paper, and he eventually got cleared and got the job. But, I mean, it was amazing. And even all the Cold War of the 50s and 60s, everybody said, you're Russian. My father was the most patriotic American you can imagine, you know. He watched Nikita Khrushchev banging his shoe at the United Nations and talking in Russian on the podium. My father was screaming and yelling at the TV. He said, that's why we came to America. You know, we're not Russian. What do they think, we have a two-way radio or a CB up in our attic or something?
Well, yeah, some of the most patriotic people are Russian immigrants that have lived through the totalitarian system, and
absolutely,
you know, they know, they can see now, many of them can see the situation that the United States, you know, is in.
Yeah, and in fact, during the Vietnam War, when I grew my hair down to my shoulders, I was protesting, my father was so mad at me. He said, if you come in the house with that long hair, I'm going to cut it off. And he used to call me a heepie, which was his sort of Russian sort of hippie, but it was too heepie. I'm sorry, that was a digression. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I see that. Again, I've lived through all that stuff, and I've seen, but I don't know if the Cold War is going to heat back up again. I mean, as you said, with the there's between our situation and their situation, all these things fit together, Daryl. I mean, it all, you know, I don't know how it's going to fit together, but I think it all, we're in for a world of hurt. I just see that happening, and these UFOs, like you said, are going to start appearing, are going to see things, and people are going to just... Pravda does a lot. You look at Pravda.net, some of the Russian stuff is always running stuff about UFOs now and all kinds of things.
Yeah, you could really see, and then just the mass media in general is pushing towards it. And again, as times become more uncertain, I think you're just going to have this stuff kind of going off the charts. So one of the things that I've been telling people to do is prepare to... just your family in terms of your water supply and your food supply. I have some a simple guide on my website under preparation. I prepared for the suburban urban dweller, because a lot of it's geared towards out there on the internet is geared towards kind of the Montana bunker folks.
Right.
And nothing against them, but you know, those of us in an urban or suburban area, you know, we typically can't do those kind of things. So I've tried to make it a little bit more also economical, where you don't have to go out and spend thousands of dollars in dehydrated food. You know, a lot of it is just common sense.
Right.
Some of the same things that our parents kind of did anyway, keeping a pantry, that sort of thing.
I remember that. I remember in the elementary school in the 50s, we used to have these nuclear drills. We'd go down and go in the hallway and bend down, you know, put our heads down and preparing for a nuclear attack. It's amazing. Anyway,
well, on that subject, I mean, one of the things that Lynn Marzulli talks about is his scenario is that, you know, Ezekiel 38-39 invasion of Israel, or a major Middle Eastern war involving the use of nuclear weapons, that these things would then manifest with the facade of somehow preventing us from killing ourselves. Do you see maybe that type of scenario? Or
could be. You mean these things being the UFOs?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. As I said, definitely, because I believe they are entities of deception and deceit, and well, Satan's a great deceiver. So I think that could very well happen. You know, every time I think I know what's going to happen, like I wrote about in my novels, my books, course, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Right.
And things never happen exactly the way we think they're going to happen. So it could. Who knows how it's going to manifest? But as I said earlier, I think they're all tied together. All that's going on in the world, all that's going on in politics, and all of a sudden we're seeing more a rash of these UFO flaps. And I think that's not coincidental. I think it's going to deceive. They're there to deceive people. You know, instead of people turning to Jesus, they're going to turn to some supposed cosmic savior, cosmic entity, Antichrist, whatever you want to call it. But I think they're all tied together. It's a deceiving entity. Because like I said, these people at the university where my wife is and where I once was, and I know that people say, oh, my God, look what's going on at the universities. I said, I taught this 30 years ago. I led more students to hell. I mean, I was New Age and very liberal, and I just... I attacked my Christian students at the university for it's amazing. But anyways, so this is a long-standing battle, and I think it's going to increase because I hear my daughter's taking a master's course at the university. What is it on? Diversity. I mean, it's all this, you know, which now it talks about rights for people, groups, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But it puts down Christians. I mean, it does. They're not even shy about doing that. We're the narrow-minded, bigoted, you know, religious right or whatever they want to call it.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and some New Age people say we're the ones that are going to be, we're going to be raptured, we're going to be taken off the earth by these UFOs to get the bad people off, not the good people, the bad people. Once we're off the earth, they say, then we can move to world peace and harmony.
Well, you know, have you heard that? Because, you know, I was listening to Major Ed Dames, who's a remote viewer, which, in my opinion, is another deception of fallen entities. They give you whatever information they want to.
Right.
It's the same thing as divining or... But anyways, so Dames says that there's going to be this situation where there'll be a great removal, is what he calls it. So it's really interesting. I hear that. Now, I know there's various Christians that have various views about when the harpazo, the rapture, is going to occur. But the bottom line is, it's pretty scriptural that it's going to occur.
Right, and it's not it's not take the bad people off, it's take the good people off.
Right, absolutely.
But yes, I've seen that. I forgot what they call it. They call it the something rapture. But anyways, it's Satan. I mean, it's a counterfeit. It's counterfeiting the true harpazo or the true rapture and saying, well, we're going to take the bad people off so therefore we can have peace and harmony on the earth. It's completely turning it on its head. And people would rather believe that than believe the truth. That's amazing.
Anyway. What do you think about this current economic situation? Do you think it's been manipulated somehow, or is this kind of just a natural cycle
we reap what we sow. You know, that's the Bible says that. I think we got a president. We've got what we've wanted. I mean, this is nothing. You know, we've brought this on ourselves, I think, you know, and God is just giving us what we want or what we deserve. I don't know. That's what I think. I don't know if it's being manipulated. I once told an interviewer, I said, being Jewish, I shy away from these conspiracy theories because historically they always blame the Jews, and antipathy to that. And
I think that is a danger. I think anti-Semitism has risen dramatically, you know, and these aren't even reported cases.
They're going to blame it on the Jews. They'll blame it on, you know, I don't know, you know, Bernanke's Jewish, and who's the guy before him? Greenspan was Jewish, and Milton Friedman, and a lot of us, you know. So, you know, I don't know if it's being manipulated, Joe, to answer your question or not. I don't even look into things like that because there's so much strange stuff out there that gets into these conspiracy theories. That,
yeah, I agree.
The Jews caused 9/11. The Israelis flew the plane into the Twin Towers, dressed up as Arabs. I mean, how do people believe? I said, you're crazy. How could you believe that?
Yeah.
You know, they're all, but, so I don't know, but I think that it is dire, you know, and we bailed out Citibank today, or Citicorp, I mean, for, what is it, $200 billion? I mean, I don't know how we keep doing that.
With no strings attached.
We're doing printing more paper, and it's inflationary, you know, it's worthless.
Yeah, it's really frightening. And on this anti-Semitism, it's really disturbing to me to see some of that appear in the so-called Christian circles. I see that, well, you know, it's kind of the replacement theology where, you know, Israel is just a corrupt nation and we should never support them. And that's one thing to have a view about Israel, but it always very quickly erodes into anti-Semitic rants.
Yes, and that drives me crazy. As I say, I always tell people, I might have a Christian heart now, but I still have a Jewish head, and you know, and for various reasons. But I mean, you just people, and I talk about the Jewish people as much as anybody. I guess if I do it, it's all right. But when other people start doing it, it just makes me really upset. And I mean, they're not perfect, and Israel's not a spiritual nation. But God said he'd bring them back physically first, and then he would give them a new heart, you know.
And that land, you know, we were talking earlier about localities of the supernatural. Well, there's a positive side to it, and there's a locality on this earth. And it was described very specifically in the Old Testament, and Israel is just occupying part of that land. That God's, it's the apple of God's eye, you know, and it's a
right.
geographical region. And you're right.
And I said, Israel's the apple of God's eye, says Zechariah. But if you stick your finger in God's eye, which the apple is the pupil of the eye, so if you stick your finger in God's eye, then like, so don't do that, you know, because that's Israel. That's what people do that attack Israel. They stick their finger in God's eye. I don't think that's a good thing to do.
Well, I think we've been, as a nation, in our foreign policy, we've been sticking our finger in that eye.
Yeah.
And I can't say for sure if these things are judgments, but I tell you one thing, I wouldn't think it's impossible that what we did over there, and you know, I think it was really fascinating to me, about the same week that they were talking about the dividing of Jerusalem was when this giant mess began. It was in September, around the 17th
right.
of December, and that was when the
Rice
real
was over there saying we should divide up Jerusalem, and they keep talking about this. And so I don't know. I mean, you know, if Obama keeps doing this or continues doing it, watch out. As you said, I think that it's going to be God's judgment on us, and or God's hand's always been on us protecting America. But if nothing else, it's going to be removed, and then watch out. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, that's why I think I feel that uneasy. I just feel a heaviness, and I just think, I don't know what's going to happen. I just feel really uncertain. There's a real uncertainty out there.
Well, I think a lot of that now, at the same time, there's a real spirit of fear, and it's hitting everyone. It's hit me. It's hit everyone,
right.
Whether you're a believer or not. So I think that, and Marzulli is correct in saying this, that the currency of Lucifer is fear. And he likes to create this climate of fear, and I think there might even be some kind of physical climate that improves their manifestation in climates of disruption and fear. I'm not sure. Someday we'll find out, I'm sure,
right.
when the Lord tells us. But
I think that's true. I think that's true.
Yeah, so I always caution and say, well, we're going to prepare. And, you know, I know it's real easy to say, you know, but if you lose your job and you're sitting there with no money, you know, that's tough. I understand that. But I think that, you know, we're not called to run around like chickens with our head cut off.
The Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear.
That's right. You know, we're here on this earth. We're planted on this earth, those that are believed, for a purpose. And, you know, he's going to see us through in this. So with that subject and that hopefully positive.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's true. We're in this world. We're not of this world, though. You know, but we have to survive here, you know. And, I mean, I know I've done that. I mean, my wife and I, as I said, I've been stricken down with MS and everything, so I've been able to work. So, I mean, we've had to rely. It's been the three of us for 18 years, Paula, I, and God, and Jesus.
That's right.
And, you know, that's got us through because I've been working so. I mean, we've been living this for years, so maybe that's, in a sense, I'm not as fearful as some because I know God's got us through this, and I know it's Him because I couldn't have done it without Him, and hopefully that's been a witness to other people, and I think it has, of people, not only people in our church, but people, the secular people, too.
Well, absolutely.
How have you done that? You know, well, then you say to the Lord, you have to rely on the Lord. Hopefully that's a witness. That's all we can do. You said as times get tough and things get worse, if they do, and, you know, we can just, we have to be a witness out there to people.
Yeah, I mean, people always say, well, I want an experience, you know, and that's why I'm interested in UFOs, or I'm really, because I want to get out of my humdrum day-to-day lifestyle. And I say, well, yeah, it is. The day-to-day life is hard. But I always say, you know, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and you try it, just challenge Him. Just say, hey, you know, I'm going to try it. And you will be blown away by the very good and positive supernatural things that occur in your lives. We're not talking about little fuzzy glowing lights above
right,
your
that's
bed.
Right.
We're talking about events that by incredible miracle work out. And that doesn't mean you won't have problems, but you're not going to be alone in those problems. And that's what is really impressive to me.
Yeah, that's what my son says, my youngest son Noah, the one who's in the graduate school. He said, well, Dad, if I have a religious experience like Casino's Monk, if I have a religious experience like you, then maybe I'll believe. I said, be careful what you ask for. You may get it. So, you know.
There you go.
You know, because just pray that he's going to have it, because I know Jews need signs, the Bible says, and we're a stiff-necked people. And that's why I think Jewish people, by and large, they come to Jesus, have to have a powerful experience, because we have a lot of historical baggage about Christians or whatever, and persecution and the Inquisition, the Crusades, and the Holocaust, whatever. So I said, I'm just praying that that God's going to touch his life like he did mine, because that's probably what it'll take.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, is people see the televangelists, and I don't mean all of them, but a lot of them, most of them. You know, and the whole culture of Christianity has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Jesus.
Right.
It's about it's kind of a clique. It's a way of speaking. It's, you know, and I think that really turns people off, and I would say justifiably so.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and I always tell people, you know, it's not that, you know, we're talking about
personal
a first
religion.
Century rabbi who came, who was the son of God, who, you know, came here. It's not about necessarily all the enculturation of Christianity. And, you know, that there are people that exist in these denominations who are believers, but the denomination itself, or the, you know, the church that, you know, that we see on TV, or, you know, we hear about, isn't the manifestation of God. I think
that Todd Bentley, and remember he was out in Florida,
yeah.
All the weird stuff.
Well, there's a lot of signs and wonders going on, and that's the thing, is people want an experience, and, you know, the devil is perfectly willing to give you an experience.
That's
the devil
right.
has no problem appearing like Marian movement with all these apparitions.
With the UFOs, right.
Yeah. God, however, comes as a still, small voice. One of the really great ones is when Elijah is running, you know, away from God, and he, all of these dramatic things happen to him, and God says, well, I wasn't in the wind, I wasn't in the earthquake, and then a still small voice comes to him, and that's God, and, you know, so it's not necessarily this, but it can be, for some people, it can be an amazing thing, and I know there's some people who I know who are Muslim who are having some pretty amazing visions, so God reaches out. And he will.
Right, definitely.
Well, Stephen, we're going to, I think we need to continue this, because I think the news events are going to continue coming down. So
sounds
we're
going to
put you on call as our correspondent there.
Sounds good, Daryl. Anytime.
Good. All righty. God bless, Stephen.
God
and
bless
we're
you.
Praying for you and your family.
Thank
Very
you.
Very good. Okay, well, we'll talk
right,
to you
buddy.
Soon.